Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning, asking Lord God that as we study your word, that there will be light. Father Lord, our King of glory, you open the scriptures to us. Father, at the beginning of the year, your word came to us, that the just shall live by faith. Father, if we are to live by faith, we need to understand what faith is. And Lord, as we are gathered this morning, our hearts are open. Father, teach us what faith is. Teach us, King of glory, how to live by faith. Teach us how to apply faith in our day-to-day activities. That, Lord, our lives will bring glory to your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God for this opportunity that he's given to us to learn under his feet. The topic of our study today is, what is faith? We're working with the theme, the just shall live by faith. We'll take our text from Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you see the place, you read.
Praise the Lord. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Now, introduction. There are various conceptions of the subject of faith. According to Andrew Rogers, faith is the heart's response to God. Another Bible scholar described faith as believing in the character and promises of God and then acting accordingly. The scripture, however, defines faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, just as we read in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is essential, as it is by it that we develop and maintain relationship with God. Ephesians 2:8, we are saved by grace through faith. It is by faith that we receive the benefits of salvation. It is by faith that you overcome Satan and the world system. It is still by faith that we obtain good report, just like the saints before us, and so many other things. In fact, without faith, it is impossible to live the Christian life. It is difficult, if not impossible, to run the Christian race successfully without faith. So, in this study, we shall x-ray the concept of faith with a view to understanding the meaning and application of faith for effective Christian living. Praise the Lord. Just like we said, our theme is the just shall live by faith. So we need to understand what faith is so that we will live by it. Praise the Lord. So we'll go over to the questions for discussion. Question 1, what is faith? We have read Hebrews 11:1, so we'll not read it again. 1 Peter 1:8-9 and 1 Samuel 17:37.
1 Peter chapter 1, 8-9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls.
Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel 17:37.
David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee."
Praise the Lord. So from these passages, what do we understand as faith? What is faith? From the book of Hebrews, Peter, and then 1 Samuel. What is faith?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For me, from this 1 Peter chapter, 1 Peter 1 verse 8, it says, though you've not seen him, you love him. For me, faith is the only way that we as human beings can connect or have a relationship with God. It's that essence that helps the visible relate with the invisible. So, like when we are reading just to point back to when we read the introduction, it said it's difficult, if not impossible, to run the Christian race successfully without faith. Actually, it is impossible. it's not difficult, it is impossible, because it's called the Christian faith. So it is faith that we, is by faith, is the only way we can connect with God. So for me, faith is that essence that helps us who are human to connect with the invisible.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If we look at what we read here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, you see that faith is all about having total trust and dependence on God, no matter the situation, no matter the frightening challenges that are staring at your face, the ability to trust that God, who has done this in the past, is able to do even greater than we can imagine. David was able to call back the things God had done concerning in his life in the past, and had that belief and confidence that God was going to see him through. So what is he trying to tell us? Faith is not something you do today, and tomorrow another situation shows up. You think this situation that has showed up tomorrow is much, much greater, and they'll be able to swallow you, forgetting that which happened yesterday, God showed up. The same God who showed up yesterday, though it may not go the way you may expect it, still has the ability and the power to even deliver even greater from greater challenges and turbulence that comes up tomorrow. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
The scriptures say that faith is. So faith cannot be, was, or will be. It's a constant thing, right, and it's something that we live by every day. So it's not something that will happen today and it won't happen tomorrow. As we wake up in the morning, faith is. As we go to bed, faith is still is. So it's something that is the foundation, is the bedrock of our existence as believers. So without it, there is no relationship with God, because we can only connect through it and we'll be able to bring to full existence everything that has been promised. Is like the magnet that goes to the deep seas to bring forth that which has already been in existence. Without it will be lying there and it will not be used by anybody. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Prof, once again. Prof.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The faith is complete trust. When you are trust or outlook on something is complete. In other words, you have no alternative. You just completely depend on that thing that it will happen. That is faith. It's just like the scripture, one of them we ought to read, Matthew 8, verse 10. He said, when Jesus had it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. This was the expression the man that Jesus, the centurion, that wanted Jesus to come and heal his servant. And Jesus said, I'm coming. I will come to your house. He said, no, you don't need to come to my house. Just say it. I know you. I understand your power. That your authority is all over. That is faith. And so, that was what marveled Jesus. And he said, this is great. And so, that's the way faith is. We just must believe God in that way, in order to obtain our promise and our result. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, we thank God. We have seen from our explanations, you know, that faith is believing in the character of God. God is faithful. God is dependable. God is reliable. God cannot change. Believing also in the promises of God. His promises are yea and amen. And then acting on that promises, acting on that character, just like we saw in the case of David, you know, he remembered the things that God did in the time past. And he knows that same God does not change. And that the same way he did it in the past, that he is able to do it in the present. And then by faith, he moved on to confront Goliath. No matter what the circumstance is, no matter the situation, we know that God is who he is, that God does not change, that God is faithful, that even when we are not faithful, that he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. And as we now act on that, we will see that those promises will be fulfilled. And like we saw in the book of Hebrews, that faith is an assurance that what is hoped for will be a reality. You haven't seen it physically, but you know it will be a reality. You have that assurance. It's settled in your heart that it will be a reality. And because it's settled in your heart, you act, you know, in accordance with that. And also the conviction that the promises of God, even though yet not seen, will be fulfilled. You believe that those promises will be fulfilled. And when you believe that, you know, you act in line with that. Praise the Lord. Then, we'll get to the second arm of it. Identify the examples of faith from those passages. You know, Prof has read Matthew 8, 10 to 26. So some other person should read Matthew 8, 17, 20. Matthew 17, 20, sorry. And then another person, James 2, 17. We'll see the levels of faith.
Matthew 17, 20. He replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you."
Yes.
Matthew 8:10. And he says, "When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, 'Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith.'"
James 2 verse 17. "Isn't it obvious that God's talk without God's acts is outrageous nonsense?"
Praise the Lord. Can we identify the levels of faith from those passages?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so I see two levels. One, I see great faith, and I also see little faith. And just by way of a little explanation. Can I go ahead?
Yes.
Okay. By way of little explanation, there's something I just saw where I scribbled in my Bible. Even me did not. Something you have written before, you don't even remember it. And it just struck me now. It says, "Great faith is faith that understands the willingness and ability of God towards us. And little faith is a fearful expectation of his intervention without belief and faith in his willingness and ability." So it's like, little faith is something you hear noise in the night. Jesus, in the name of, it's little faith because it's fear. It's fear, it's doubt. You're not sure, but there is a desperation. You see when the disciples wanted to drown. "Oh, come and save us, we're about to drown." It's fear. It's not really faith. And that is what Jesus refers to as little faith. But great faith is a certain assurance. Look at what this centurion said. He said, "I know. Just speak a word and I know it." There was no doubt whatsoever in his utterance. So great faith, the way I see it, is a certainty of his willingness, first of all, that he wants to, and then his ability, he has the power to. But little faith is fearful expectation of his intervention. You want him to intervene, but it's more out of desperation and fear. So for me, that's the distinction that I see.
Yes.
Okay, the passage I read, I also saw a level of faith.
Yes.
A faith that is not acted upon. I have faith, I understand the scriptures, I can actually quote it from Genesis to Revelation. But when I am confronted by a situation, I cannot activate that which I speak. So many of us are operating at that level of faith. The level of saying it, the level of confessing positively, the level of, when we see it good, we think we have faith. But when we see it bad, we discover that we cannot, you know, be like the man that says, I believe, but help my unbelief. So it's you talk about it, we talk, discuss faith, but we don't act on it when it is being put to test.
Yeah, another example of little faith is when Peter was released from prison. They were praying for him to be released, and he was released by God. And he came back knocking at the door. They saw him and they said, I cannot be Peter. They didn't even open the door for him because they say it's his ghost. Yet they were praying and fasting for his release. You know, that's an expression of little faith. But faith is when you completely believe. You are praying for something and you are expecting it to happen and you want it to happen. And in fact, you are marching towards it. That's faith. And by faith, many people have obtained results. But little faith has no result. So if any of us is still working on little faith, there will be no result. But good faith, complete faith, is certainty that you have something you are just hoping for. You are hoping for it, but you are already behaving as if you have it. I know some women who pray for a son, a child. They went to market and bought dress for that child, bought soap, bought everything, napkin, and bought a bucket they used to bathe the baby. And they keep it. The pregnancy has not happened though. But eventually, it comes. And I've seen most of such results. But you are just praying and praying, God, please give me a baby. Little faith, it will take too long. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You see, faith is not something we just know. A lot of us can take all manner of scriptures on our head and put them at any point. But where the tire misses the road is when action. We need to put it to action. I had an experience that taught me a lesson recently. With my little boy of 11 years, who is going to turn 12 in October, he was supposed to have an inter-house post the next day. I had just paid the elder brother's school fees in Gulf Lokoi, and I was empty. As a man can tell himself, I was completely empty. This boy didn't remember to tell me he needs a white canvas to change because the one he was using could no longer fit in again. As I was about to drive out that morning, he came to me in the car, said, Daddy, please, please, please. I forgot to tell you, my white canvas doesn't size me again. But you know, tomorrow is my inter-house post. I looked at him, looked at the time, looked at my, I said, Bobo, you are just putting me in the freezer. Don't have anything on me. The boy just told me, Daddy, you can do it. Please, Daddy, come back with my canvas. I walked away. I just drove off, helpless. I was just talking to God in the car. Brethren, who shocked me? I made every effort, was able to get the canvas as I was coming. But what shocked me was that I came back. This boy displayed his PE on the bed, washed the socks.
Yes.
By the time I came back, the socks was dry. Kept it close to the PE.
Waiting for the
everything
canvas.
He needed. I had told him, I'm not sure you go for the inter-house for the next day. I told him, Claire, I'm not sure. Because to get a new canvas now, I should be spending about 10 times. But I don't have it. He walked away. After he told me, Daddy, you can do it. I came back with the canvas. I saw those things displayed on the bed. I was shocked. I told him, Bobo, but I told you you're not going to transfer. Why did you have to arrange your PE, wash your soul? He said, Daddy, because I knew you can get that canvas. You're bigger than the canvas. I went back to my bedroom, sat on the bed and said, this is serious. So if this boy, 11 years, going to 12, can exercise this kind of faith, because he looked at his father, not knowing I was empty. He looked at me, he was looking at me as a person, that his father is able to get the canvas. So why then is it that God, who did something for me yesterday, when a situation shows up, I now believe, I feel within me that God is not able to take care of that situation. It's food for thought for a lot of work. It taught me a big lesson. And I want to thank God for that thing that happened that day because it has helped me to, from time to time, no matter how things may look, I just lay them at the feet of Christ and walk away.
Praise
and
the
then,
Lord.
Where I need to take action, yeah. I'll take action. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I think that settles it. That settles it. Just simple faith in God, simple trust in Him. You know, He knows His Father. He believes His Father can do it.
And he went ahead to act. To act in line with that belief. Washed everything, ready for the canvas to come. Because he believed the canvas would come. He knew the canvas would come. And the canvas came. And he went to school. You know, and I like the Lord. You know, what he told us about if our faith can even be as small as mustard seed. Yeah, thank God for the great faith. It is good to exercise great faith. But even if you don't have that great faith, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, Jesus tells us that you can say to this mountain, move. Not necessarily physical mountain, move. But you can exercise your authority as a believer. You can exercise that authority that he gave to you as a child of God. You can speak to things and you will see manifestation. You can pray and you will see the answer to that prayer, you know, manifest. Praise the Lord. Then we'll go to question two. And then also we saw that if we fail to act on a thing in the book of James, if we say we have faith and we don't put it to action, it's as good as dead. It's as good as we do not have faith at all. It is faith that is put into action that yields results. Praise the Lord. Then question two. Discuss the source and basis of faith from the following passages. Romans 10, 8 to 10. 17, 1. 8 to 10 and then 17. Then Luke 5, 5. Hebrews 10, 23 and Ephesians 3, 20. So if you see any of the places, you raise your hand. She'll give you the microphone. Yes. Then we're in question two.
Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net.
Romans 10, 8 to 10. It says, But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Here's the remaining.
Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Amen. So can we identify the basis of our faith? Basis of our faith. Is it just based on nothing? You claim it. Yes.
The remaining scripture there is Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This section we are now is to discuss the source and basis of faith from the following scriptures. And this one I read now, which is Romans 10:17, you can develop faith by hearing and by also hearing the word of God. It's actually the word of God that drives the faith. And any child or any person that has had an encounter or knowledge of God, that is the first point of faith developing.
Yes.
Encountering the word of God gives a way to having faith. And I'm sure like your son, he developed this faith because he's a Christian. You know, you can see most of the people that are not Christians, they just permutate. They just say things that, did you hear this? Mother, that we will die, we are finished. No, people of faith don't speak like that. When you are a child of God, you know there is God. and you believe in God and you trust God, you will not say like the other people that have not had the word of God. So the source of faith is actually from the word of God.
The word of God.
By hearing it. And in fact, your faith keeps increasing. If you are reading the Bible, getting more word of God. If you are going to fellowship, praying, your faith will be growing and growing. But as soon as you leave fellowship, you leave Bible, then you begin to talk like unbelievers who just say, ah, nah, no, did you hear what happened? They'll be talking that. When I hear such, I just laugh because I trust God. I know the will of God will happen, not what they are saying. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Luke chapter 5 verse 5 is common, or rather very close to what Prof just talked about. Now Simon, in that particular verse, had fished all night. Not for some hours. Bible said all night. All night is not less than 10 hours. So he was too sure there was nothing there. He was very certain that this is like waste of time going back there. But because you've said it, so faith has to do with hearing what you feel yourself with. You feel yourself with negativity, it's be very difficult to go back and say this thing will happen. What you hear is very important when you are trying to exercise faith. Let's say, for instance, one who is looking forward to conceiving, and you feel yourself with so many negativities the doctors have said. It's true, they are facts, but what has God said is a different thing. So for one who is exercising faith, you find out that God has said, none shall be barren. So you just hold that word. This is one thing I've heard from you, and this is what will work for me. So faith, for me, doesn't matter how much things have happened before that scenario. Doesn't matter the evidence you're seeing, or what you've done, or what you can say as proof that this is it. As long as it contradicts what God has said, then it doesn't matter. What matters is, what is God saying? What are you hoping on? What is building your faith? The basis is what you hear. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes.
The basis of our faith is that by confession, is by speaking it. He said, when you speak it, you believe. That means by the speaking, you build up the momentum of which the faith will operate. He said to the master, just say the word, my servant will be healed. He didn't say any other, just declare it. Because it maybe is declared, there's a connection of what is declared to what is going on in your heart, and you see the manifestation come. So even if you have not seen it, keep saying it. Even if you have not seen it, keep saying it. As you keep declaring it, it begins to, you know, act on that surface. They say the earth was without form and shape, and the Spirit of God was hovering over it, but nothing happened until a declaration was made. So what your action will be, the only thing you need to bring your faith to bear. Act, and your acting is just to speak it. Just keep saying it. Keep saying it and keep declaring it until you see the salvation come to you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, yes. The source and basis of our faith is the word of God. It is the word of God. And then the character of God. Because that is what because if outside the word of God and the character of God, it just becomes like positive thinking, just like what they're doing in the world. The basis is the word of God that cannot fail. The character of God that is ever constant. God is faithful. God does not fail. God is dependable. God is reliable. And then the capacity of God. God has the ability to do whatever he says he will do. So if I know that God is faithful, I know he has the capacity to do it, then I believe him. And if I believe, therefore I speak. That's what the Bible says. We believe, therefore we speak. And then we act. Praise the Lord. So our faith is not anchored on maybe what the world is saying or what is happening around us. No, it's anchored on the word of God. Anchored on the character of God. Anchored on the capacity of God. Praise the Lord. And then, why is faith important? We'll be faster now. Hebrews 11:6
Ephesians 2:8-10 and 2 Corinthians 5:7.
Okay. Hebrews verse 11, chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Yes.
Basically, it's important because that's the basis of how we relate to God, as we have said before. Now, because the fact is, as Christians, our basis is on faith. We are not there when Jesus Christ died, but we heard and we received and we believed it. So we believe that this is God and this is He sent His Son to save us. So we are born again based on faith. So it is very, very important because that's where our basis lies. And for us to walk with God, we have to walk with faith. Because He's a rewarder. We have to believe that He's a rewarder of them that get to seek Him.
Amen. Yes.
Ephesians 2 verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Not by work, so that no one can boast.
Yes. Can you just comment on that? So that...
Okay, it says why is faith important?
Yes.
It says it is grace through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. So faith is something, you know, one of the things that we often say when we are believers, we think faith is something that we have to generate by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have to generate faith. But it says that faith, it is a gift from God that has been given to us. I often use the illustration, if you give someone something and give someone let's say I buy you a hat, and I never see you wear that hat, how do you expect me to feel about the gift that I've given you? So one of the reasons why I have to activate and utilize my faith is because it is something that's been given to me by God. So it's even also in appreciation to God to exercise and to walk by faith, because that is a gift that has been given to us.
Yes.
Praise God. Faith is important because just like Hebrews 11:6 says, without it, we make God so angry. We can't please Him. There's no way we can function effectively as Christians when we don't exercise faith. If you see any matter you don't exercise faith on, you are frustrated, you are tensed up, you are worried, there is fear, and fear brings a lot of torment, just like the scripture says. So why is faith is important? Why is it important? When we exercise faith, our case is set. That's the easiest way we can approach God, because God hates it when we fail to trust Him completely. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, yes. And also, we are made to walk by faith, just like we read in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. And like our theme says, the just shall live by faith. As Christians, we are made to walk by faith. There's no other way. There's no other. That is how we are wired to function. And then, question 3, how does faith work? Galatians 5:6, James 2:17, 1 Timothy 1:18-19, and Hebrews 11:8. But if you get a place, you read it and you comment. How does faith work?
Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going.
James chapter 2 verse 17. James 2 17.
Yes.
In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead.
Yes. 1 Timothy 1:18-19.
Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. I'm passing this work unto you, my son Timothy, a prophetic word that was directed to you, prepared us for this. All those prayers are coming together now, so you will do this well, fearless in your struggle.
Okay, praise the Lord. So can we just shortly comment on how faith works? How does faith work?
Praise the Lord. A few things I saw here. Faith without works is dead. So faith has to be acted upon. Then I also saw faith must work through love.
Yes.
So you don't just have many people. We have faith. We were just discussing yesterday, just very briefly, about someone who my cousin wanted to marry his daughter. This person is a proclaimed believer, very, very strong believer, you know, but goes all kinds of fellowships he belongs to. But if you see the kind of behavior this man started behaving when we came, and we're not like, where is the love? Where is the good conscience? That's another thing that was here. Good conscience. Where are all of these things? So faith is not just something we proclaim. It's many times our faith leads us to religion. But this case is telling us it's not about religion. It's about the love that comes from our heart. It's about the conscience and the state of our conscience.
Praise the Lord. Yes. And then finally, there's one other.
Yeah, I read in James chapter 2, verse 7-10. It said, faith without action is dead.
Yes.
Like if you recall where we read in Luke 5:5, where Jesus was telling Simon Peter he should cast his net. Yes. Even after fishing all night and not getting anything. So he acted upon what Jesus had told him.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Faith works with action. Faith works by love. Faith works with good conscience. And faith works by obedience. If you believe and you don't obey, the faith will not be expressed. Praise the Lord. So we will stop at this question 3. On Wednesday, we will conclude, you know, the remaining questions. So when you're coming on Wednesday, you come with your outline. Praise the Lord. Pastor, pray for us.
In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us today. Thank you for even boosting our faith, oh God, by your word, because the entrance of your word giveth life. Lord, even as we go, we ask that you will go with us, that in every area of our lives where we require this faith, Lord, may it be activated for our sakes, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah. Were we able to discuss the 3 questions in our classes? Praise the Lord. Can someone in class 1 or 2 tell us what faith is? Class 1 or class 2? Can you just tell us what faith is? What, from the study, what did you understand as faith? Class 1 or 2?
Praise the Lord. I'm from class 2.
Okay.
Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and starting of what we do not see. So even if we do not see that thing, we are already starting, but because God said it, it will happen. It will come to pass. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Being sure of what we hoped for. Being sure that what we hope for will be a reality, whether you're seeing it or you're not seeing it. And being convinced that the promises of God will be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Yes. Can another person, either in class 3 or 4, tell us, identify the examples of faith from the passages that we discussed? Levels of faith. Levels of faith. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
From the passages we read, one key example of faith is the centurion, his interaction with Jesus concerning his sick son. Jesus, he did not insist that Jesus should go to his house with him, but he just said, say the word, and I believe it will be done. And then it was done. That was a perfect example of faith. Even though he was not there with the son, as soon as Jesus said, go, your son is healed, he went in faith. And by the time he got home, he found out that the son was healed at exactly that time Jesus said the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus said he had great faith. He had great faith. From the passages we saw that he exercised great faith. Jesus talked also about a little faith. Also faith as small as a mustard seed. And then faith without work that is dead. But I like the Lord. You know, he just like the Bible says, it is his will to give us the kingdom. He said, even if our faith is as small as a mustard seed, even if it is not that, he encourages us to grow to the point where we have that great faith, where we exercise that great faith. But even if that your faith is as small as a mustard seed, he's telling us that you can say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and it will obey. But he was not necessarily talking about the physical mountain.
He's just telling us there that you can exercise your authority as a believer. When your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you can exercise your authority as a believer. So that if it's in the area of healing, you can exercise that authority based on what the word of God says. If it's in the area of provision, you can exercise that faith. If devil shows up, if demon show up, you can exercise that authority as a believer. If your faith is as small as a mustard seed, if you believe God, if you believe the character of God, because we saw when we're starting, we said faith is believing in the character of God, believing in the promises of God, and then acting accordingly. Also believing in the word of God and acting accordingly. Because you know, it's difficult to believe what you do not know. If you do not know what the word of God says, it's difficult for you to believe it. And it's also difficult for you to act on it. And so, and then knowing the word, you know, the point where we act on it is when we have internalized it. When it has become so real to us that we cannot be convinced otherwise. You know, so it's not just head knowledge. It's not that they said, or the reverend said, or the pastor said, or Kenneth Hagin said, no. You've seen it in the word, you've heard it in the word of God, you have internalized it. And how do we internalize it? By meditation. You keep meditating on it until it takes root. It takes root in your heart. That's why in our introduction, we said that Andrew and Roger said that faith is the heart's response to God. It's not just the head, the heart. It has come, you know, it has taken root in you, and you're now responding based on that which you believe. It's just like Sisyphus now. The fact that the husband is the person sitting next to her is so real. You cannot convince her otherwise. It is so real to her. And if I say, hold your husband, she will not blink before holding him. Because it's so real to him. The same thing with the word of God. When it becomes so real to us, we won't even need prompting to act on it. Naturally, we will act on it. We are not acting on it because it has not become real. We have not internalized it. But the Lord is encouraging us to take it in. Meditate on it to the point where it becomes real to us. Then, without effort, effortlessly, we will act on it and we will see, you know, the manifestation. Praise the Lord. And then, question two. Class 5 or 6, can someone tell us the source and basis of faith? Is it just positive thinking? Is it just claiming it, seeing it and claiming it, liking it and claiming it? What's the basis? What's the source of our faith? Class 5 or 6?
Faith is not quoting. It's not claiming. It's what you believe, when you believe the word. And that word is Jesus Christ. And when you have that word in your life, that word is always, when you have that word as your word substance that is in you, whatever that comes, you know that this is what Christ said, and we hold unto it. Praise the Lord. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 17:37, he said that when they want to meet the Philistines, Samuel said that he has been doing it for him. He remembered what he did. And he said that this one is not different, that he's going to deliver him in his own hands. Praise the Lord. Word of God is all and all. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our faith is based on the word of God, what the word of God says. So, if you're confronted with any situation, the first thing is, what is the word of God saying about this situation? When you find out what the word of God is saying about this situation, hold on to it. Hold on to it until the point where it takes root in your heart. Then act on it. And then, another basis of our faith is the personality of God, the character of God. The character of God. God is faithful. God is dependable. God is reliable. God cannot change. You know, in the case of David, when he was faced with Goliath, ordinarily, just like the rest of the Israelites, they were afraid. They saw him, he was very big, giant and all that, and he was small. But what did he do? He remembered that God delivered him from the bear. God delivered him from the lion. And he said to himself, this God does not change. I can anchor my faith on his character. He does not change. And if he delivered me from the bear, and from the lion, he will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. And he went and went in, you know, by faith to confront Goliath. So whatever we are confronted with tomorrow, remember that God, with today, remember that God does not change. Remember that God, as he was yesterday, he is today, and so he will be forever and ever. You know, and that if he did it yesterday, he will do it today. It does not matter. The same power that heals headache is the same power that heals cancer. The power that provides 10,000 naira is the power that provides 2 million naira. That same power of God. It's the same God. And also the capacity of God. His capacity. Does he have the ability to do what he has said he will do? Yes! He has the ability. And that's why we have to anchor our faith on him and on his, on, you know, and on his ability to fulfill his promises. Whatever he says he will do, he will do it. He will do it. Praise the Lord. So, the basis and source of... And then our relationship with God. It is by faith that we develop relationship with God. Before you talk about exercising faith in him, exercising faith in his word, in his capacity and ability and all that, first and foremost, you have a relationship with him. That is the primary thing. Developing relationship with him. And it is by faith. It's by faith that we come to know him. So that if we you know, there's any of us here that is yet to develop a relationship with him, that is yet to hand over his or her life to Jesus Christ, it is time to do so. Because it will be difficult to walk by faith if you do not first of all have a relationship with him. It is the God that you know that you will act on his word. It is the God that you know that you will obey. It is the God that you know that you will trust. Praise the Lord. And then, why is faith important? 9 or 10, somebody in question... Class 9 or class 10? Can somebody just tell us why faith is important? 9 or 10, why is faith important?
It's only through faith that we can please God. That is the only access we have to the throne of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Faith is important because that's the only access we have to God. It is by faith that we are saved. It is by faith, you know, that we please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, we cannot even run this Christian race. It's a journey that we started by faith. It's a journey that will continue by faith. And it's a journey that will end by faith. Anywhere, anytime, at whatever point, faith is important. Praise the Lord. And then, 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. As Christians, we are made to walk by faith. Praise the Lord. Just like our theme says, the just shall live by faith. It is by faith that we shall live, that we will live. And then, finally, question 3, how does faith work? Someone in class 10, 11, or 12, 11, 12, 13 remaining, just tell us, how does faith work? How does faith work?
Praise the Lord. Faith works by love, obedience, and with a pure conscience.
Yes, praise the Lord. Faith works by love. You know, when we walk in love, we express our faith more. Unlike maybe if we are walking in hatred, bitterness, and all that, it will be difficult. You cannot express it. You cannot walk by faith. And then faith works by good conscience. You know, when your conscience is clear, you can easily approach the throne of grace. You can easily, you know, ask God for anything, believe God for anything. What if your faith, if your conscience is condemning you, you find that to even approach the throne of grace is a difficult thing. Now to talk of believing him for anything. And then faith also works by obedience. God spoke to Abraham and he obeyed. So if we say that we're walking by faith and then the Lord is telling us something and we're not obeying, that is not faith. And then by action, James 2:17 says that faith without works is dead. If we say we have faith and we don't take any step, you know, we just believe. Let it just happen. Let it fall from heaven. No. It does not happen like that. Faith works with action. What does the Lord want you to do? Take that step and you will see. Even when you're not seeing, like Abraham, when God told him, leave your place and go to a place I will show you. He didn't even know the place he was going to show him. But he believed God. He believed the character of God. He knew that he cannot lead him to where he will be destroyed. He obeyed. And we saw the end. Praise the Lord. The same way, if we obey,
we will see the good end. Praise the Lord. You know. So, we will stop at question 3. On Wednesday, we will conclude, you know, the remaining questions. Brethren, as we go, let us pray and ask the Lord to help us. To help us to understand the subject of faith. You know, we cannot run the Christian race without faith. It is what we need for our everyday living. And as we trust the Lord, He will help us. He will grant us the grace. You know, and like we said, the Word of God is very important. Very, very important. You know, because as we study the Word, as we understand the Word, as the Word takes root in us, we'll see that our faith will be growing. Our faith will be growing. It's not, you know, because like what you have more on is what you act more on. If we have more of what is happening around us, we will act just like that. If what we hear most of the time is about, you know, how inflation, things are increasing, the cost of things are increasing, how our governments are not doing well, how, you know, so many negativities. You find that it is difficult. We will still get to that. We will not be able to exercise our faith. But if we give our time more to what God is saying, yes, it does not matter what is happening around us, but what is God saying about it? The situation might look hopeless, but does the Word of God say that that situation is hopeless? No. So let us anchor our faith on the Word of God, on the character of God, on the capacity of God. And as we believe and act in that direction and act accordingly, we will see the manifestation. Praise the Lord. The difference between
dead faith and faithlessness.
Yes. What's the difference between dead faith and faithlessness? Is there any difference? Okay, give her the microphone.
Praise the Lord. I don't think there's any difference at all. Faithlessness is dead faith. That's why I said it's just the same thing. I don't believe there's any difference. Reverend wants to say something.
Praise the Lord. I'm thinking that the difference between the two is that faithlessness is a situation where you have no faith at all. But dead faith is that you have faith, but you don't show it, you don't act it. Because the Bible says that faith without work is dead on its own. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Yes, because the demons believe.
And they tremble.
The demons believe and tremble. But they walk contrary to the Word of God. They don't act in line with the Word of God. Some people do not believe and therefore do not act. So if someone were to believe but act differently, the person's faith is dead. But if someone does not know and therefore does not act, that person is faithless. Effectively, they belong to the same category. But for academics, we differentiate it.
Yes, yes. Because when it comes to results, it's the same thing. The result of faithlessness is the result of dead faith. But for academic purposes, yes, you have faith, but you're not putting it to action. So it will still yield no result. And somebody lives in unbelief, does not believe at all, the person will still not get any result. So they're in the same class. Praise the Lord. But the Lord wants us to walk by faith. Can we pray? Let us pray. Can we just briefly ask the Lord to help us? Brethren, we need this understanding. You see, the Word of God seems to be of non-effect because we lack this understanding. Because we do not believe the Word of God. Because we do not act on the personality of God. We do not act on the capacity of God. We do not act on the promises of God. And that is why the Word of God seems to be of non-effect. Can we ask the Lord to help us? Can we ask Him to grant us that ability, that grace, the grace to believe Him? And can we also make a resolve to go back to the Word of God?
Can we resolve this morning? Father, I am going back to your word. I am going back to your word. Carry your Bible and say, Holy Spirit, teach me this word. Teach me, because if I will make anything out of my life, it is based on this word. Teach me the things I do not know. And help me to walk therein. The difference between two Christians, whether the person gave his life to Christ today or tomorrow or 10 years ago, is knowing the word of God and acting on the word of God. You can see, I believe, somebody that just gave his or her life to Christ yesterday. But he believes God for his word. He believes the word of God. He acts on the word of God. And you see the life of that person being better, making more influence, you know, influencing others much more than somebody that has given his or her life to Christ 15 years ago, that does not know the word, does not walk by the word, does not act on the word. Because it's the word that changes us. It's the word that transforms us. Can we ask the Lord to help us? Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know you to the point where, Lord God Almighty, O God, we believe your word. We walk by your word. We think your word. We speak your word. Yes, because the scripture says that we believe, therefore we speak. We speak your word and we act on your word. Father, we ask you for this grace. We ask you for this grace. Help us, Lord God Almighty, by your Spirit. That, Lord God Almighty, as your word takes root in us, we will live thereby. We will act on it, O God, and our lives will bring glory to your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Holy and blessed tree.